bars at? Yeah. Where your bars at? Yeah. Where your bars at? We got bars, bro. Yeah. 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 Where your bars? Where your bars?
No bars.
Bring
today.
Your bars. Where your bars? Yeah. No bars at all.
No bars today. I have nothing to say.
Hey, uh-oh. There goes the bars. There goes the bars. I gotta figure out how to close it. I feel like I got it. But I gotta be listening to the music. Every time I get to it, it gets to a point where we like laughing and shit, so I can't.
I'll send you the beat tonight.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll send it to you.
T-H-E to the K-I-D, rhythmic, Sunday's communion is the place to be. When it comes to the soul, I got my main man B. But when it comes to the heart, I got my big cuz E. Us three, you could call us B-E-T. Black and entertaining on IGTV. I be the brains in this thing, but please don't mind me. I go from tapped in to strapped up, but not cocky. And if that whip made you sick, please go block me. I take your hit if you hit, but no hypocrisy. See? He's ready to go.
She gave us a couple extra bars this week.
Yeah, I got like three more. You know what I'm saying?
Gave us a couple extra
bars.
I got three more bars.
Oh boy,
I got three more, and I still hadn't pressed live yet, so they ain't get that.
They ain't get that.
That's just y'all.
Nobody in the, cause mine's booting up. So only ones that got it was whoever's tuned in.
Hey, whoever's tuned in, y'all. That's what make y'all exclusive.
You got a sneak peek.
Yeah, that's what make y'all exclusive in this thing.
Got that special treat.
Yo, you're exclusive in this thing. So what I need to start doing is joining from my communion page, but I got to draw people to it, because...
That's the way to draw people to it.
Well, yeah.
Start going live, put the content up
there. Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to do.
From IG page or Facebook?
From my IG page.
Just tag the station. That way
and same thing with Facebook. I got to start, like, sharing the one that you play to communion so that it draws them in that direction.
And make sure you give me the name of the page so I can put it on the... When I put the video, I'll put it in the description. That mic is all jacked up.
Yeah, this jump.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this joint's all off the wires and everything. It's about to fall off.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I know.
I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that later. Because that joint is just not even... It's hanging on by a thread.
I just put one back in, so maybe it was just whoever.
Nah, because you see all them hooks on the bottom?
Oh, yeah.
Those are all supposed to... Yeah, look at the one across.
Oh,
see how it's spiders? It's like a spider web.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they was having fun.
Yeah, somebody was just...
Somebody was in this
like,
joint having fun.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's cool.
Let me see what I can do with that.
Oh, that looks neat.
Yeah, but that hypocrisy line I thought was dope.
I like it.
Yeah, I thought that one was dope.
I like
it. So, we can go ahead and get started. I mean, he could just...
Look, you on.
We on the radio, right?
Yeah, y'all live.
Okay, then we good. All right. What up, cuz?
What's up?
What up, good people? Sunday, 5 p.m., communion here at Rhythmics Radio with TK the Kid, your host, and my lovely cousin, E Day.
What's up?
What up, what up, what up?
Ow.
What up? We in the building. We got some viewers right now. We got Lovely Day Photography. Thanks for tuning in. We got Herb Long that always tunes in as well. He said, hey, TK. Hey, Herb. Thanks for being a loyal, audience member, follower, watcher, whatever you would call it.
Viewer.
Viewer. That's it. Simple terms, viewer. Hey, man, it'd be a long week. Sometimes you can't get there real quick. So we here now, about to get it together. Just so you guys know before we get into it, this Sunday is Sober October. This month is Sober October. I'm sure, will tell y'all a little bit about that. So she got us in here drinking kombucha instead of wine, but nonetheless, still sipping on something.
Alcohol and kombucha.
I mean, fermented,
little
sippy
Very
sip.
Little.
little light sippy sip. But
you drink enough of it, you drink. I mean, if you drink 2 gallons, you might get drunk.
If I crank the bottle, I might be a little.
Drink 2 gallons.
I think if I crank the bottle, I might be a little.
Because that's too much. You know? That's a lot of sugar, too. No. This is for your gut. Yeah, this is like healthy
for like
gut
digestion. Yeah.
Probiotic tea.
So, yeah, that's what it is.
Follow your gut.
What kind do you have? So I have ginger lemon, which is perfect for me. That's one of my favorite combinations.
And that's Booch Pop. So it's kind of the same, but it's more of like a soda feel.
Then I got this little Booch Pop. Try that out. What you got
so
over there?
I have Tropical Punch.
Tropical Punch.
And then for my Booch Pop for like later on, I have Palm Berry. So pomegranate
Palm Berry.
And berry.
So both from the Health Aid brand. So, you know. Coke, once Coke get there, we'll make sure we got Coke brands here. I try to stick with Coke brands when Coke brands exist. But when they do not, we drink other things that are healthy choices.
Maybe Coke
as best
can come
we can
up with a kombucha.
Yeah, maybe Coke can come up with a kombucha. Maybe we could be the faces of it.
why do you do Coke products and not the offender?
Because they're the offender.
What did they do?
They offended me.
I want to know.
Because I work for Coke. Yeah. I work for them.
So. You ain't signed no NDA, did you?
I mean, we
probably did sign an NDA.
When you work for the brand, and probably vice versa, especially when you're on the clock. Like, if I'm not on the clock, I don't have on any Coke identified stuff, then I can partake if I so choose.
Sure.
But during work hours, in Coke identified vehicles, clothing,
I can see that being a policy.
Yeah.
Like, bro,
if you get caught
with a Pepsi in your hand,
and it's not just Pepsi, it's any Pepsi brand.
I'm just saying, it's a thing. That's immediate.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yo, just take your uniform off
right now. As a matter of fact,
keep
the uniform as a keepsake. Just stay home with it.
Just don't come back.
Yeah, just once you wash it, it's yours. Basically, yeah. So yeah, but I do not prefer Pepsi at all. To Coke, even before I started working for Coke, I didn't prefer Pepsi.
I ain't mad at that.
You know, but I do.
For me,
drink,
it depends on what I'm drinking it with.
Well, for me, I don't really drink soda like that. Yeah. For real, if I'm gonna drink something, it's gonna be a ginger ale probably, and it's just more for digestion's sake.
I ain't mad at that.
But aside from that, I mean, I drink other brands inside. I might drink Simply, Smart Water, stuff like that. So some brand underneath our portfolio
are under Coke.
Okay. So
Simply
I still stick
Smart
with
Water.
Smart Water, AHA, Powerade, Minute Maid.
AHA is the sparkling joints.
Minute Maid, Gold Peak. We got a plethora of brands inside the portfolio, but I stick to them all. I don't go with the
She's true to the game out here.
I'm
just
loyal. I mean,
you need a loyal one.
I've been with
Coke
for 16 years, so it's been a long time. But I'm loyal. I'm loyal in general. You know what I'm saying? So once you're in, and if that's the way, then you figure out the way and you rock with it.
I think I'm in too.
Yeah, you didn't got a line. You got a line.
I got a line in the. I said I got a line in the intro.
We had two whole people
bars.
We had two whole other people that was on this show every single day, and the tech guy.
Hey,
the tech guy got a line.
You know why? Because the tech guy be here.
But that's why I say that's why the line says when it comes to the show, I got my main man B. Because realistically, how do we do this if he's not here? I mean, granted, we could do it somewhere else and do it another way, but the way that we connect to Rhythmix and have our, home here is through him being here to take care of it. So there's no way to leave him out.
She ain't going nowhere.
I'm trying to tell you. Why?
Any competitor listening now?
Yeah,
too bad.
What reason? What reason do we have?
I mean, listen.
To do
if
that?
They throw the bag at you, I ain't mad if you take it.
Yeah, no. people throw bags to me. That's competitors to Coke. But what people don't understand is that it's just like a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you got to be willing to dance with the devil in some cases, because you go places and people going to promise you a lot of things.
Sure.
But then you might get over there and not get that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Giving up 16 years of tenure to go and believe that I'm going to maybe get more money or something like that. That's immediate,
right?
But
right.
in the long run,
and it's not money's not always the absolutely. Thing. You money, might have good. So for a me, good boss,
for me, it's really about total reward,
environment,
a total reward package. Sure, sure, that's sure, what sure. it's about. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Because
classic,
sometimes
classic package.
Yeah, the classic package classic. For the yeah, classic I mean, candidate. For the classic candidate.
Classic package.
Yeah, you know for the classic candidate. She know because every time no for real every
with
time
the
I do
glass bottles.
Every time I do an interview, I have a brag book. And I call myself the classic candidate every time. So when they get that, that's always branded on it. That's kind of like how I brand myself when I'm going for a new position. But nah, for real, I just, you know, I think that things are going to be up and down, but you don't just jump ship out of office.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure, sure.
Because the devil brings you things the way God does too. Mm-hmm. And you should know that there's no sorrow added. So if it's something that's going to cause you to be like hasty, not be able to think it through, no real confirmation. You know, if it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. You go where you belong.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But you don't go to it just because somebody come and bring you some gold eggs. You got to figure that shit out.
I mean,
you know
man, you might crack eggs. One of them gold eggs and it be rotten as
yeah,
hell.
Like
you know what I'm saying?
Gold eggs be having green shit oozing out. Yeah. You know
green
what I'm
eggs. You be having them green eggs. You be calling Dr. Seuss out there.
Yeah. Hello?
Gold eggs tarnished.
Yeah,
they
like shit.
They
yeah, because they're not. Yeah, that's paint.
Gold plate.
Yeah, that's gold. Gold.
They look like gold.
Get it wet.
Gold dip.
Right, right. Don't get it wet. It's gonna turn green.
Like shit. Like
put
shit.
Put some fingernail polish on that joint.
Before.
That's
hey, old
school
wild.
Right there.
Y'all yeah, but nah. That's. I mean, you gotta protect yourself that way. But yeah, that's how I am. I've been like that since I've been with him, really. So, you know.
That's
everybody know it.
That's good.
Yeah, no lie. So, all right, let's get into our affirmation and then, you know, see how this week went.
Okay.
What you got for us? Deep breathing.
Yes.
We're closing our eyes and shit.
We don't have to close our eyes, but we can just take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
And inhale. Exhale. And repeat after me.
Got it.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am here.
I am here.
I am whole.
I am whole. We are here and we are whole, and we hope that you are there and you are whole as well. I actually hope that when we saying that, and I don't know if y'all in the crib saying it too, but I hope that y'all repeating it. I hope y'all repeating. You know, you never
I'm
know.
Just joking.
I was talking to somebody the other day. I was talking to somebody the other day that says that sometimes when they, you know, in the thick of shit, they be having to say, you know, I'm here and I'm whole.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's great. What's up. You know, great. People taking that in. Take them C's with you. Every single time they say. Every single time they say. Herb said yes.
Thank you,
what's
Herb.
Going on?
Get it, Herb.
What's going on, Chuck? Thanks for tuning in. Glad to see you here. So, but yeah, so people out there hearing the affirmation, and even if they're repeating it like B said in their head, that's enough. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you can't use your mouth.
Yeah.
But as long as you're taking that in, you know what I'm saying,
it's
into
your
spirit.
And your heart,
yeah,
your
that's
spirit.
It. You know, depositing, that's what's important. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that the viewers are taking it in. If not, you know, try that at the end of the session. If not this time, next time. But that's what it's here for. One of my favorite parts of the show, she says, is the affirmation. But that's because you be out here. You
who
know, bringing all of the words, the riot.
Oh, thank
out
you.
Out here, bringing all of the good words of affirmation to us.
Thank you.
And shit. So, how was your week, though? How was your week? This mic sound all clear and shit.
Yeah, mic sounds great today.
Yeah, like no bullshit.
Wow, I think I really need a bar.
I'm saying, like, hey, Herb said he get a warm feeling. You get a warm feeling from the affirmation. That's what I'm talking about.
The warm feelings for me.
The warm feelings for us. That's what we like to hear.
That's good.
No, absolutely.
It should feel good.
Absolutely. Anytime you're speaking something positive over
yourself,
you know what I'm saying? Anytime you're speaking something positive over yourself, you should feel like that. You know what I'm saying? And you should be leery of the moments where you speak negative things over yourself. Mm-hmm. Not to come from what we were saying, but there are times when I accidentally speak negative things over myself. You know, when you say something make me sick or, you know, something like that, even though it's very casual and no malice intended, words have so much power that even if it's not an immediate manifestation of word, mm-hmm. I mean, of that thing or materializing, you are planting a seed in some way. You know what I'm saying? So every time I say something wild, I get that feeling too. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh shit, man, Lord forgive me. I didn't mean to say that. Right. You know, I take that back.
Right.
And, you know, return that or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? But yeah, so when you're saying something positive about yourself, you should be like in the thick of that, very present and intentional, so that you can raise whatever vibrations that you're trying to raise. But yeah. So I'm glad to know that the listeners, the viewers, the watchers, the whatever is out there taking that in. So what up, Grandma? I see you out there. No, I don't actually see you, because every time I say that, you say that. No, I just see that you're watching by word, not by body and face. Because every time she'd be like, yo, man, y'all be... Uh-huh. Because my hair be... I just be...
not like that, Blanche.
Yeah, we just see that it says Blanche Terry is watching for clarity, Grandma. But nah, how was your week?
How was my week? I think my week was... I think the first week where I'm feeling the routine of my job.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't feel like the beginning of the school year anymore.
Okay.
Like, it's on and popping. The kids are coming. They're prepared. They are asking questions.
It's turning in that Miss Ebony's class.
Yeah. They are really becoming...
Blanche is watching again. She click off, click on.
We see. No, we don't see.
I think she didn't like it like 5,000 million trillion times.
Oh, but thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think like my week as far as work is now real. Like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I am in the school system. Like, it's going
real deal, and it's we're in full effect.
I got a new student tomorrow. Like, okay. It's real deal effect. So, all right. Which is good, because now I can get to the nitty gritty of teaching social skills and like I've done the observations and stuff, so now it's like, okay, planning.
You've read the room.
Yeah,
you gotta figure it out.
Got parent teacher conferences Friday, so it is like we in there.
Look at the kombucha already working, got me burping and stuff.
Yeah it does
Can't be doing that on the air. Yeah, on the air. So you said was it a phrase, was it a word? Did we sum it up to something?
I don't have a phrase or word, okay. I don't think. I mean,
you don't have to. Every time it ain't like that. What up, cuz? Regina didn't stepped in. Oh, that was you, Regina. Loving it 5,000 times. Thank you, cuz, for tuning in. Appreciate you being out there with us. But so no word, no phrase, right? That's
just,
all right.
Just
maybe next week.
Yeah.
But so my week was interesting. We're very taxing. I can't really speak to all of the details of things that happen. But around some of the things at work and stuff like that, just from, you know, certain protocols and stuff. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, a very taxing week, and I found myself needing to sleep a lot. I think I'd have said this before on the show, like, mm-hmm. I don't really take medicine. That has never really been a thing for me, but more so over the last few years, mm-hmm. Especially after I stopped eating meat and smoking cigarettes, mm-hmm. I just became so mindful of kind of the things that I put in my body, mm-hmm. that I didn't quite understand, mm-hmm. And so I think that's how I got there. Now, don't get me wrong, there's several things that I put in my body that I probably don't understand, you know what I'm saying, because mm-hmm. you just can't know it all, but
right.
I really stopped like taking medicine around that time, so now when I'm not feeling like myself and stuff like that, I just sleep, you know what I'm saying, like no matter what, whether it's not feeling good, which I don't not feel good, like I haven't had like any like sick symptoms and shit like that, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about from being taxed at work,
yeah.
you know, when I'm feeling angst or frustration or, you know, mm-hmm. anything emotionally and stuff like that, I sleep to restore, but sleep normally takes care of whatever it is, you know what I'm saying, whether I'm tired or not, like even if I have a really in-depth conversation with somebody about something, if that takes a lot out of me, I go to sleep, you know what I'm saying? I always, I don't know if I said this on the show before, but I always think of myself like John Coffey in the Green Mile. You never seen it? Mm-hmm. So basically, John Coffey, he like, I don't know, I guess it maybe was considered like a power or something he had. It wasn't like a superpower, but that's... basically, he it's the big black dude.
Yeah, he died. Like,
yeah, I believe he like, did. Yeah. Uh huh. But basically, he would, anytime he like helped to heal somebody or did something to show like some past thing or whatever it is, mm-hmm. he would end up very tired. Mm-hmm. He would like spit all of these almost like locusts or something that would come out of his mouth or whatever, and then he would lay down and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So obviously, he ain't spitting out locusts and shit. You know what I'm saying? But it ain't that deep. Mm-hmm. But I do find that sleep always brings me back. So it was a very, very taxing week from the top of the week to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Accomplished, you know, mm-hmm. A lot. Got to go out and see my nephew play. Haven't seen him play like in a gym really since COVID, for real, because at one point you could only watch it, you know, online, and then Herb says sometimes you have to rest your body. Absolutely. And you got to listen to your body to know when. Yeah. That's very important. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
And I think that's why it's also called like rest and recover. Because after you rest, you recover to get back in
to
the
do
game,
whatever
to
you.
Do whatever
it's like a recharge. You know what I'm saying? So that's important. That's why you got to make sure rest is in the mix.
Gotcha.
And not be, you know, sleep deprivation and shit. Like, I do realize that there are people out there that's like insomniacs and stuff like that. But I think it's very important to do whatever you can in whatever ways that you can to do your best to combat that. Or even if you're not fully asleep, you know what I'm saying? At least finding quiet times to be still and sit, you know what I'm saying? And just kind of take some intentional time. Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, so back when all this first started, and obviously there was a point where there was no sports, right? Mm-hmm. And then sports came back, and then you had to watch it. They weren't even letting parents, I think, in the gyms and stuff.
Right.
But then when you were watching it, I remember distinctly, I think I was in Atlanta. It was around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to watch it from there, but so many people are logged into this link right now that it's, you know, buffering and stuff like that. So I really haven't seen him play. So that I will say
that
was highlights to see him out there playing and doing his thing. It always makes me very full and happy to see that. So and just getting to see him face to face. I haven't really seen him since the house was sold, so that was my first time seeing him face to face. It was his and Nick's birthday this week, so getting to see them this week during their birthday weeks was also, you know, that did add
that
value where a lot of things took value away. So I'm appreciative to that. And that goes to I guess one of the topics that I wanted to get into. Before we do that, you know, now I done pushed current events on you because I know you be in tune and I don't. So what's going on out there in the world that you done seen that that we might need to note for the good people before we get into this thing? Now, I know we updated, so Kelly Price is no longer for the people that was worried about her officially becoming missing, even though for some of us she was already missing to begin with. For those people, Kelly finally did. Kelly tell us, was it a video?
Yeah, she came.
Okay, so Kelly listen, I don't watch, I don't know, so
I mean,
Kelly,
but that's all on Instagram.
Kelly came and
that's
said that she
media.
Was Kelly came and said she is not missing. So,
yeah.
Update there. What was the other thing? Oh, from what it looks like, Slim got money.
Slim
got plenty
money.
Of money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To do what needed to be done. So, you know, that's why you got to bring up current events. Who knows, man? Them people might have been listening.
Mm-hmm.
And now she
felt
got a whole dollar. Felt
we,
that good energy that we done put out over the
way.
Because here's the thing. We might have 4 or 5 viewers here. We might have one over there. You know, we don't really talk much about what's happening over here. But this is a worldwide online web, so you know, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, just the energy alone, sending it out with the intention where they say where 2 or 3 are gathered, maybe we, you know, helping to
push things forward.
Push Mr. Johnson. I don't know if that was the last name. I know his last name was Johnson,
yeah.
but whatever. Nonetheless, updates to where we were. You ain't got nothing for us to happen this week out here in these streets.
Yeah, I didn't really watch news this week.
So the only thing that really I saw or heard about, because I really ain't see shit. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so Ebony told me to ask you,
ask
good people,
viewer.
You know, viewers, you got anything out there that you think that we need to table? But I think I saw, I don't know if it was this week or last week. I want to say it was this week, but I think R. Kelly finally got his due around that. So I think that for what I would consider due, I don't know if other people all agree or not or what have you, but. Him being found guilty of those charges, I think that was something that happened this week. So, I definitely think that's something to note, especially since, what up, sis? We got to get up. But especially since, to me, any violations towards women and stuff like that be wild. I mean, anybody, children, men, women, whatever. But, you know, if you followed the surviving R. Kelly and follow some of the trial and all of that, some of that stuff was disgusting, man. If I had to say, you know, not having been there to say I, you know, participated in being, you know, but in looking on if those things are absolutely true, mm-hmm. which I would like to believe that they were, because I would hate that people are, you know, putting
making
those kind of, yeah, making shit up like that, especially with so many people, you know, kind of
having
the same
story.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think that was disgusting. I think that he needs some time to sit.
Yeah.
And think, I do pray that, you know, there is some remorse of some sort or something, you know, that kind of happens with him. Maybe some healing takes place too. I do realize that hurt people. And from what we gathered, it does sound like he may have experienced some tragedy of his own too, mm-hmm. which could have, you know, kind of spiraled him into some of the choices that he made. But nonetheless, it doesn't take away from the choices he made. You know what I mean? And the bad judgment. Herb says he did it to himself, and I would have to agree. So I don't know how much of you know, justice that brings to the people who had to experience him in that way, but I do pray that in some way, you know, the verdict around that and you know everything that comes along with him being actually charged with, I hope that gives them some form of feeling like they got some redemption in it.
And I think I feel sorry for, like, his kids, because, like, that's going to follow them. Like, their father, you know, was R. Kelly number one, and then did these things, and, like...
Wild shit.
That's going to follow them. Like, his ex-wife, she, you know, she, like, she's dealing with the traumatic experience, but, like, that's their blood.
Yeah, that's always tough. You know,
that's
but that's why it's so important that people have to be mindful of the decisions that they make. You know, now in being a manager, I've been up against a lot of times where over the last few years, and I when I first became a manager, it was very hard for me to, like, separate people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I brought this up before, but now I realize that I'm not separating them. They are separating themselves. Mm-hmm. It's the actions or whatever it is that they take to get them there. But it's always interesting to me when we get to those conversations, you know, those kind of like exit interview kind of situations. And it's like that's when everybody brings to the forefront all of the people that's depending on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got this and I got that and I got kids and please. But in my mind, I'd be thinking, but when you were making that choice, though, you had kids and dependents and people that were relying on you. You know what I'm saying? But that wasn't the forefront of your mind at that moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to think about them more than you want me to think about them in order for this to really work. You know what I'm saying? Because it takes us working collectively to be able to protect them in that way. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a heavy burden to put on a third party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Something that's supposed to be your first ministry. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I do feel bad. Don't get me wrong. I do feel bad for his children. I just feel bad.
I mean, I think they probably
I feel bad
older,
that his children, I feel bad that he made choices that they now have to live with. Mm-hmm. Not just the fact that they do. Because, I mean, it says this, the Bible says the sins of the father, you know, end up being, you know, the kid's problem. So we know that that's a thing. Mm-hmm. But it's unfortunate that he made those choices and did not have his kids in mind or didn't feel like, you know, maybe didn't think he was going to get caught and shit. Like, which kind of brings us to the to somewhat of the topic today, because I wanted to talk about entitlement. Entitlement has come up so much over the last few weeks, honestly, not just this week in particular, but in general. Since I'm running over here, can you do me a favor and pull entitlement up, like the definition of it?
Sure.
I've never actually even looked at the definition of the word itself, you know what I mean? But by my experience and what I know with context, entitlement basically means that people think that they deserve shit. Shit should be a certain way. That, you know what I mean? They themselves have the rights to things that may or may not be things that they have the right to, but the attitude is more about the attitude towards it. Mm-hmm. I always say that now, being a manager, I try to manage my employees and customers from a perspective of gratitude versus entitlement. You know what I'm saying? Like, us being able to work together and understand that what it takes in order to make some of these decisions, mm-hmm. and then being able to meet somewhere in the middle, showing gratitude for each other and being able to figure out how we come over or get what we need, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Versus being very demanding,
yeah.
And, you know, thinking that it should be the way that you think it should be. So it looked like you got it. What's the actual definition of entitlement?
So it has a couple. So
okay,
the fact of having a right to something.
Okay, so I said right to whatever.
For here, the example is like full entitlement to fees and maintenance should be offered. Like,
right.
You know, if you know, you should be fully aware of your legal entitlements, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yep.
The amount to which a person has a right. So the example here, annual leave entitlement.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. You know, this is the one that I think that
resonates with us.
Was what we're talking okay. about. The belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment.
Yeah, see, that's the one.
That's the one, right? Yeah.
Inherently deserving of what?
Privileges. Or special treatment.
Of special treatment.
Or special treatment. Special treatment.
So, yeah, like, I wonder, you know, I feel like I kind of know where entitlement comes from. In a way, I think we experience it on levels. So you got it. You know, we all understand the climate that we live inside of, you know, socially, you know, around race and stuff like that. I feel like there's a certain amount of entitlement that comes with certain groups of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As to whether or not they belong or not, or what they should have over others and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I think even on the flip side, you know, people who have been victimized believe that they have a certain entitlement mm-hmm. to, like, reparations. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I do believe that all black people feel like they should be entitled to reparations of some mm-hmm. sort because of what happened in our history. And I say that to say, while entitlement kind of means the same thing one way or the other, mm-hmm. in some ways I can understand why entitlement exists. Mm-hmm. But I think that I end up having an issue when the entitlement comes with disrespect
right.
and lack of disregard. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I better than you
right.
or we better than y'all. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or something like that. But what you got any like experiences with entitlement that you could think of that you done had that have kind of like rocked you in the past?
Not like rocking me per se, but uh-huh. I think that I've worked with many groups of children
uh-huh.
in many different atmospheres
yeah.
and like many different districts and locations.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like some parents feel like they are entitled. They could just come into the building and do what they wanted to do
right.
and disregard the protocols
mm-hmm.
of signing in at the door.
Like, because the kids were there.
Yeah. Simple okay. things as that. And I'm like, why does, like what makes you different?
Right.
Everybody has to,
and what do you think drove that? What do you think? And look, because I think there's always something, like some driving force to what,
yeah,
I contributes think those, to why people feel entitled to things.
I think in those like situations or in that example, I think it was more like
I'm just, I get what I want whenever I want.
And I do what I want.
And I do what I want.
I get what I want and I do what I want.
Yeah, whenever I want and how I want. So if I don't want to sign in right here, I'm not going to.
Now, is there, like, understanding that, right? I'm sure this is not, like, a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. So, were there, like, some reinforcements that went along with that? Or did they actually really get to do whatever they wanted? Were they those kind of people that just kind of breezed through and got to do that
so,
shit?
So, depending on, like, who was around manning the desk or who was there, like... If, you know, if the person in the office knew the person, oh, come on in, I know you, you know, so they're able to do that.
Right.
But then other times it could be a new person.
And then and that person says no. And now you like, what you mean? I always, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing about entitlement, that while the person who is acting in the entitlement is in essence kind of the, I'm not going to call them the core of the problem, but the most of the problem, I say, because they're the ones operating in that space. It's important that we understand how all the people involved contribute to entitlement. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I used to, we used to have this thing that we did at work where you had to kind of sign for certain things. It's kind of same, like, it's like what you were saying. And there were employees who would not do the process. Like, they just would not go through the process. No matter what you told them, they wouldn't go through the process. This became a thing. So when I went and I had to try to get customers to actually go through this process, they would think it was a new process because they've never had to deal with it. And so now they're up in arms and they're like, you guys are changing things and I don't like these changes. And I'm like, I'm like, you got lucky to not have to deal with the way we should have been operating because that was wrong. And this is the way we got to do it. And so now we got to align with this way. But, I mean, people get up in arms when you try to, like, take them out of that, like, atmosphere.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And in that case, I don't know if they were being entitled. I just think that they were used to what was going on, and I think that that is what, in many ways, breeds entitlement. Though it's a nurtured, like, environment. It's a cultural conditioning. It's cultural conditioning of even with, you know, I think that most people would agree that there is a such thing as white privilege. Whether all people operate in that space or most or whatever it is, just based off of the way the world has been built over time, we have lived in a society where typically most times, if not all the time, there's some level of privilege that comes along with being in that class. You know what I'm saying? And so, and I'm trying to be as politically correct as I can here, people, you know. But that is a conditioning that has happened over time, be it from the people who have accepted it from them, the people who have encouraged it, the people that have allowed it, people that said nothing, blah, blah, blah. And so that's why I feel like when there's pride on the other side and there's an uprising on the other side, that then it's like, you know, they want to make America great again.
Because
you know what I'm saying? That's basically like they feel like something has been stripped from them that they believe they were entitled to, even if all the ways to which they were operating were illegal or wrong or cruel or whatever it is. Like, you look back and you can't find really any good in it other than the fact that America was built.
Right.
The only good we can find out of that tragedy is that America was built. You know what I'm saying? In America, we all live in. So there's some, you know, rights and privileges and stuff that we all get to enjoy that we probably would not have had America not been built. You know what I'm saying? So I have a certain level of gratitude for the fact that we are here, however we managed to get here. But nonetheless, the entitlement that comes along with that, I think it eats away at us being able to really move forward collectively and create a world that is really great. You know what I'm saying? So even in like relationships, I feel like this is simple things. Like if you got somebody, a spouse or a partner or whatever, it could be something as simple as a person cooks all the time. So now you just think that you're entitled to a meal.
Yeah,
and you don't think that you have to participate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At all, because this is just how it's been. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that before you got like that, you thought that. Mm-hmm. But in the experience of having someone do that, I know people get in situations all the time and, you know, everybody putting their best foot forward mm-hmm. at the beginning of a relationship. So, you know, I do know women that, whether they deal with women or men or whatever, you know, you get into a relationship with them and everything is, no, sit down, I got it. No, sit down, I got it. I'll make your plate. You know what I'm saying? And that's like one of those things that you are constantly doing. And then one day a nigga don't get up and you come sit down with your plate and the nigga looking like, where's my plate? And then all of a sudden, it's like, where's your plate?
You can make your own plate.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But
it's a change.
And now now there's confusion. But
instead of just saying, can you go ahead and get your plate?
Today? Yeah. Or even still.
Him to make his own plate every time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the.
Figure it out.
The thing is that.
Let him make his plate every time or tell him this
I think on both sides of it. Yeah, I think on both sides, I think that there should be a fair amount of gratitude around the fact that someone has done that for so long that on the one day that they don't, then you cut them a break. You know what I'm saying? Like I always say about consistency and why I love it so much is that even when you change one time, you're still the same. So
right. If
someone normally makes your plates and then one day they don't make your plate, you shouldn't be up in arms. You know what I'm saying? I think that what creates that is the person who now has changed mm-hmm. and shifted. Mm-hmm. The expectation that people will flip over with them after creating an environment that's like that, I feel like that is where most of the struggle comes from. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think you could train people to be whatever you want them to be. You right. train them to be entitled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The person
that was getting the plate every single time believes that you're going to show up with a plate because you've always shown up with a plate. The moment you stop showing up with a plate regularly, that will then train them to not expect it. What it will also do, though, is now create this weird space between the two of you that says you've changed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because now you're operating differently. Nina, you said nope. Nope to what? But yeah, I find that in like relationships, friendships even, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? People just think that you should be there to support them in everything that they do. And, you know, no matter what they're bringing to the table, mm-hmm. you know, they could bring you, like, mediocre efforts. Mm-hmm. You know, they can bring you half-assedness. And then they still expect to have full-ass results. You know what I'm saying? By not even showing up for themselves. Not even doing, you know, their parts to make sense of what's going on around them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Work. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I think it's something that we really need to dig into. You better not forget to do what I expect. Exactly. That's what's wrong with people. You know what I'm saying? Hey, expectations are cool.
You walked all the way in there and made your own play. You couldn't make my play.
Exactly. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Like, so what? You got such and such going on or what? You don't care about me now over a plate?
I'm just going to sit here and not eat.
So what am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do?
Make a plate.
Stand up. I'm going to give you step by step.
Use your legs.
Stand up.
Rise up.
Take a couple steps forward.
1, 2, 3.
Reach for the plate.
Hand out.
And start to do it yourself.
Absolutely. And then eat.
Did I feed you?
Yeah,
did
I'm
I
just
give
saying.
You food in your mouth?
Might as well have. But what? No, honestly, I mean, we joking about it, but what do you think it takes to like dismantle like those attitudes of entitlement? Because it's hard as a person that's dealing with someone who is acting in said way, mm-hmm. especially when it's a situation you can't get out. So let's say, you know, you married, husband, wife. I mean, I guess you could get divorced over, you know, that over time, correct.
If there's no resolve,
yeah.
But
that's where the blow up kind of happens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then like parents and kids. So we were talking this morning about, I guess, some woman that was on, I guess this is another current event, some woman that got like on live or something. She recorded herself like abusing her kids or some wild shit.
Why would you do
just
that?
So that she could get her kids taken from her because she didn't want her kid. Something weird.
Well, that sounds demented.
Yeah. And I'm not laughing at that.
I'm sorry, that sounds kombucha got me belting.
Hey, it's the way you responded to it as well. But what I said, yeah, that is very sad, actually.
That's sad.
But what I did say when I was being told about it and thinking about some of the things that I've seen children do, I don't think that mental health and emotional health is a respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. I think child to parent, husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, whatever it is, when people are bruised and broken emotionally and mentally, mm-hmm. the way that they figure out how to make sense of things doesn't always make sense. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine, I don't condone abuse in any kind of way. So let's be clear when I say this. But I can imagine if a parent were taking care of their children, you know what I'm saying? And their children were like extremely unruly. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't listening to nothing you said. You know, just thought they were supposed to have. Give me. Don't do nothing. Mm-hmm. I can imagine just how taxing that is on a person emotionally, especially when you birth these kids. Like, they really are yours. They belong to you. You gave them life. You work very hard to make sure they have everything that they're supposed to need. You sometimes got to do strange shit that they'll never know about just so that they have what they need. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe degrading things. There's people out here that got to do what they got
to
do
to survive
and make sure that their kids survive too. And have your kids tell you what they ain't and what they are going to do, or being opposite, you know, anything you task them with, they do the opposite. Then they talk shit, talk back, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can imagine that people be peopling, you know what I'm saying? Even parents to kids. And that there's people out here that literally, like, don't have it in them. Like, we've heard about parents that have really taken their kids out of here, which is sad, mm-hmm. and it's wrong, but we know that there's something there in that that's then lunched them out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that it's the kids that's lunched them out. I'm just saying that I know that sitting in somebody's face and dealing with them every day and knowing you have no choice and knowing you have that they have no regard, you know what I'm saying? We talking about disdain. We not talking about regular kid shit, kids be kidding. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Where you just, you know, hey, you know, did you do your homework? And today you say no, but typically you normally do. But today you just want to play outside so much that you done tricked it up. Mm-hmm. That's one thing versus, mm-hmm. did you do your homework? Every single day you ain't done your homework. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You lie about whether or not you do it. Mm-hmm. You look the person dead in their face and say you
did it,
but you didn't. You know what I'm saying? Got all it. And that just builds and builds over. Nobody wants to be lied to. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be mistreated. Parent, child, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Nina said kids will take you there. It's like, it got to be a different kind of pull as a parent. Like, me and you, like, we haven't actually birthed kids out. But I can imagine that the people that actually push these little jokers out and have them, like, literally be looking in your face and carrying it with you. You know, kids get to the point they hate their parents and shit. Yeah. And, you know, all that. What that, how much of a broken spirit you can have.
Yeah.
Around something like that and don't have nowhere to go.
Yeah, especially if it doesn't turn around.
Yeah.
Because some things happen. You a teenager, you just talking trash to your parents,
talking crazy, but then you eventually
you stop.
Yeah, like, eventually you just figure out that you lunching and you realize that the world look different.
Yeah, but when it doesn't change and they take that into teenagehood and adulthood and then,
And the problem is that when they're in childhood, if you don't deal with it at childhood, they absolutely going to take it in a teenagehood and adulthood and going to be perpetuated. So, Darina says, there is a thing folks skip. Children are actually people with their own personalities, habits, etc. And sometimes parent-child don't mesh based off of that. True. True, Bill. And that's what I mean. Like, I feel like a lot of times people don't give parents enough credit for what it is to be parenting. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's almost like parents are supposed to be superhuman, mm-hmm. have no emotions, mm-hmm. have no, you know, I mean, even the Bible says that God was a jealous God. So if you were made in his image, angry, all these things. So if God could be these things in dealing with all of us, like being children, you know what I'm saying, or byproduct of, mm-hmm. then why can't people actually experience that too when they're dealing with their children? And while you might love them, you may not like them because personalities don't mesh, you know, because it's you and some other person that's then come together to create this person, you know what I'm saying? That shit just might not be a good thing. Nina says, I have to let my kids know what's going on, and they get some things and some things they don't get. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everybody, I just think that I'm talking about blatant disregard.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not talking about, I think with relationships, you can walk away. Even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
This is not a place where you have to be. You know what I'm saying? Parents and kids, there is a bond or binding, should I say, mm-hmm. that is there, that if a parent walk out on their kids, what's that, neglect? You know what I'm saying? If a parent don't do certain things, that's abandonment, neglect, all these things mm-hmm. that parents have to account for, especially in the world that we live in today, where parents have less rights than they probably ever had mm-hmm. around what they can or cannot do mm-hmm. with their children before everybody's in their business. You know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong. Oh, shit.
Little bumps. Mosquito bites from my walk, maybe. Okay. Go ahead.
We together now? But yeah, so, shit, you made me lose my train of thought.
Sorry.
Sorry. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Damn, what was I saying? I don't even know. I really lost my train of
thought. Sorry.
It's the way you got up. It was just like, wait, what is happening? Do I need to get up too? You know how black people are.
No.
I need to get up too? Yeah. But no, I was saying parents have goosebumps. Yeah, she out.
What?
It doesn't matter. Anyway, parents have less rights than they have had historically around what they can do with their kids before people are in their business and telling them what they should be doing with their kids.
Right. You know what I'm saying? In a relationship, you can walk out.
Yeah, but with parents, there's neglect, abandonment, and the third. You know what I'm saying? Like, basic needs, really, to me, mm-hmm. is all a parent owes a kid. Mm-hmm. You owe them a place to stay. You owe them food. You owe them clothes. Those are basic things that you mm-hmm. that you owe them just so that they can live, you know, going to school, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you don't owe them anything above that. You know what I'm saying? You owe them nurturing and, you know, experience to a certain degree, some rearing of some sort. But anything above that, I feel like a parent does not have to give their children. So the experiences that they do give them mm-hmm. are a luxury. Mm-hmm. You know, those are privileges mm-hmm. that kids should have. And yet, I feel like kids these days more and more believe that they should have the basics times 1,000 mm-hmm. and not have to work for it at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I even find that with, you know, just around watching people and how they work. Like, the job I do is very, like, labor-intensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not candy. It's not magazines and chips and bread and shit. I mean, these are sodas. Anybody that goes to the grocery store and picks up a 12-pack understands how heavy a 12-pack is.
Mm-hmm.
When we pick up 12-packs, we pick up 2 at a time. When we pick up 2 liters, we pick up 8 at a time. When we pick up 6-packs, we pick up 4 at a time. 20 ounces, 24 at a time. Like, this is the way the cases are built. So this is not, this is a labor-intensive job mm-hmm. that you have to do in order to, you know, be with us. You know what I'm saying? But in the world that we live in right now, especially the way, you know, social media is and stuff like that, kids almost want to do nothing for pay.
Yeah.
So when they did, if they come to me for a first job, it's hard because it's like, wait a minute, I got to do all this for this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that I think society has created that more than anything. Like, working hard was like some badge of honor
mm-hmm.
from, you know, our parents' generation and their parents' generation. Hell, even mine. Like, I love work. I feel like even if I like hit the lottery or some shit, I probably would still go to work. I don't really want to talk to nobody about it and tell nobody about it. Mm-hmm. But I just enjoy my job and I enjoy working. Nina right. says, yep, that's my method. Sometimes as a parent, you get caught up with feeling if I don't provide kids, the kids may go to the left. Then you start painting your own picture. But yeah, that's the thing. I think a lot, I've heard parents say so many times, various parents in various situations, about how hard they've worked to take mm-hmm. care of their kids,
yeah.
to hide certain things from them mm-hmm. and not allow them to experience in the fullness kind of what is really happening to make all of this make sense. Mm-hmm. And then once the kids are older and they're still kind of operating in that model of you should give me, I should have, mm-hmm. you should do, mm-hmm. no matter how I act.
Ding, ding, ding. No matter how
yeah,
I act.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the no matter how I act. Like, I feel like at that point, like, parents are taking full back. I think when they're still young, a lot of times, the biggest thing is that kids that are young are cute. So when...
But it ain't cute.
Right, but... Doing, right, but ugly. I think that... Yeah, but I think that it starts off like that.
Yeah.
I feel like... You, oh, look at her. You know, look at him. Smart, yeah. Yeah, smart, like, smart back, for her age.
Smart
and,
mouth.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hold a whole conversation. And, yeah. You know, all those acting, things. But I feel like a lot of those things are, you know...
Can be innocent.
Maybe miss it, the, yeah, innocent, in but the then beginning. Sometimes misread. It said, she said, it's all in my head. Kids hate being cut off. Here she goes. She want to start a nonprofit. We always do that around just everything. Me and Nina.
Nice.
But yeah, I think that we groom that. We groom the kids into that entitlement. But I feel like you almost have to. All the odds are kind of stacked against you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't beat them. If you beat them, you know, CPS at your house. You know what I'm saying?
Open
you can't
hand. Beat them with an open hand.
I mean, of course. Yeah. No punching, guys. No fists.
Just a
little pow pow.
Just the open hand.
A little pow pow. But I don't even
don't pick up nothing.
I don't even yeah.
Open
no.
hand.
Like nah. I honestly think that you can reinforce positive behaviors mm-hmm. and create environments where kids listen and shit without putting your hands on them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like if the model is in order for me to get you to do what I want to do, I'm gonna choose violence because to me, discipline in that way is a form of violence. Mm-hmm. It is, and I've heard it said several times, basically a person saying, especially when it comes down to think about men and little girls, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, fathers and daughters, mm-hmm. you know, I am doing this to you because I love you, and so this is what I got to do. Even though there is probably no malice and the best of intent in there, somewhere along the way, it could create the idea that being hit in some way after doing something wrong is a thing. And then you have a kid that grows up and a nigga putting their hands on her, but she don't see nothing wrong with that because that's how she was raised and that's how she got tightened up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't think putting your hands on kids is the way to get them to do what you want to do. I think really that comes in order, consistency,
routine,
structure, you know
talking,
what I'm saying? Yeah, buy-in, stuff
language,
like that. Yeah, absolutely.
All of that.
I think that absolutely is. But how do you get around that once you've already gotten, especially you being a teacher? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got kids in your classroom. They come from different, you know, backgrounds mm-hmm. and, you know, experiences and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know you see that shit show up in your class mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. As a teacher, granted, you are just the teacher, but they spend mm-hmm. more time with you than they spend with their parents. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do you help to, like, tear away mm-hmm. at that attitude of entitlement, you know, knowing that they go home and probably still get all the shit that they want?
Yeah, so I speak to my kids in, like, a matter-of-fact type of way. So, uh-huh. And I also, when I see them doing positive things and I see them showing kindness to each other, I say, wow, thank you for doing that for so-and-so.
Uh-huh.
Or when they tell me, Miss Ebony, somebody, and I'm like, talk to them. So I encourage communication with the peers. I encourage listening, because communication is two-way.
And should listening mostly.
One person has to listen while the other speaks. Correct. And then you respond. I also promote choice making. Mm-hmm. Like, I will invite a kid to come and work with me, but if they don't want to, I'm not going to force them.
Okay.
I'll say, well, you know, this is a project that we've been working on, and when your mom comes, maybe she'd like to see yours. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't force my kids or my students to do anything per se, but I tell them why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So then they can make mm-hmm. the choice when they, you right. know, when they can.
Mm-hmm.
I think giving kids choices, giving them the consequences of the choices, if you do this, this could happen.
Right.
So I think, for instance, you want to go to snack, but you want to play at the blocks. Well, guess what? Snack is over in 5 minutes. I'm going to walk away. You're going to make your choice.
Right.
If you don't choose that, then you're going to be hungry until 12 o'clock.
Yeah, so I think that's the big thing. The big thing around it all, I think, especially when it comes to entitlement, is the accountability.
Yeah.
I think accountability, people being, no matter who it is.
Yes.
Even going back to something, you know, more serious. Let's take it off of kids. But going back to what we were talking about initially around, you know, society and cultural differences, race relations and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the biggest things around what happened with George Floyd was that we had been watching for so long cops do a particular thing, you know, out here killing black men or women. Brown, black, whatever,
mm-hmm.
And getting away with it. And so it wasn't that, as much as we're saying stop killing us, what we really wanted was if that is the case, if you happen to do such a thing, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You just can't resist. You know what I mean? I feel like you should be held accountable to it.
Mm-hmm.
And because people weren't being held accountable to it, I feel like it almost became a thing, and it is a thing still to this day,
mm-hmm.
that you can do such a thing and get away with it, and you got this thing about you that it's just been done. There's no way people are just shooting people on camera and doing all of these crazy, weird-ass things
mm-hmm.
and believe that there is some law or letter that they're going to be held to.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of entitlement that comes along with that to say, I can act out. And I could do and be whatever I want to be
mm-hmm.
in front of the world, mind you. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the world is watching this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get away with it. And what we were asking for was, okay, this might happen. There may be some confusion. Maybe people are, you know, something's going on. And, you know, maybe this is the case. But once we done sat through and talked it all through, once we've determined that this is not what it is,
yeah.
there should be a level of accountability that comes along with that. You know what I'm saying? Because people shouldn't be able to just take people's lives and be all right with it, especially when there's laws against that for regular everyday people.
Right.
And when you do it, you know, you're going to jail.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So just in a more serious way, I feel like after this George Floyd, you know, sentencing from this whole thing,
mm-hmm.
even if it doesn't necessarily take that away in totality, I think that what it does do is raise an awareness that people are out here and they're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to let it slide. They're not going to stop. So if you happen to do that, this could be you too.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to make people think twice about whether or not they want to behave in that way. Matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if that's the way they've always behaved.
Right.
So I do think that it is important that it's the people around watching the people, the entitled people,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving them, you know, that kind of structure and stuff like that. But I think it's, I wonder where it comes from. I think sometimes I don't know if it's just like, it's the cultural conditioning, but I just feel like there's very innate things that you deal with people, you know, there's like innate conviction that I feel like people have, even children. You know what I'm saying? I feel like kids know when they're doing something wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have that emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They know how, they know when they've struck the teacher the wrong way and disrupted
mm-hmm.
the classroom
mm-hmm.
or hurt someone's feelings the way people turn. Like, I came in the house the other day, and Lou knew that something had happened while I wasn't in the house because it's like, she looks like she had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
So very aware
mm-hmm.
of even though it's not her that created it, she knows it's happening. Mm-hmm. So just imagine if what she did happened, and then right after that, I felt that way. So now she got a cause and effect, and she understands that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I know that kids got that kind of emotional intelligence.
Yes, they do.
That they know but when they are stirring the pot, and stir the pot anyway.
And it has to be sometimes brought out of them.
Yeah.
And it has to be told to them.
Yeah.
Like,
this is what's going to happen.
This is what you're doing.
And this is,
this is how I'm feeling about what you're doing.
And this is the consequence for that. And this is what we're going to do. So Shaka said, I know that we running over. But Shaka said, I wish somebody would be in my business concerning my kids. When you start providing your opinions, that's where I draw the line. You can only have an opinion if you were there with me taking on the responsibility. I had to teach my kids the game, quote unquote, the way of life early. I wouldn't expect more for them. I tell my kids all the time, the streets will always be there. A missed opportunity will not. And then she said, these are good topics of conversation, by the way. And then Nina said, of course, she believes in checking kids. I do think that people shouldn't be coming into people's households and telling them how to raise their kids. You know what I'm saying? And shit like that. I think that that's just whack. And I think that you should. But I think that it depends.
When they're in the classroom, I think sometimes.
Yeah, somebody else got to be involved. I mean, you're the teacher.
Sometimes the parents don't want to hear some of the suggestions that.
But no, the parents got to be open to that.
But sometimes they're not.
Hey, parents, I'm just telling you, you got to be open to a teacher telling you their observations about a child that sit with them for 6 to 8 hours out of the day. They know your kids better than you because their kids spend more time with them. You gotta be able to reason with that. You know what I'm saying?
Trust the teacher.
Maybe you need to figure out how you can get them in a school where you do trust the teacher. The reality is that you need to be. If you don't trust the person that you letting your child sit with for 8 hours in a day, that's neglect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like sending your kid to the little creek around the corner, knowing they're a creep, but you keep sending them over there because you don't got no choice. Like if your kid's going to school and you don't like the way the teacher operates,
and the teacher goes back. A lot of our people,
absolutely. Rena says, it takes a village. I listen to teachers quite a lot. They know they have access to me at all times, not always depending on the teachers. No, I'm not saying all teachers are great teachers. What I'm saying is that if your child got to sit in a teacher's class all day and y'all haven't developed some sort of relationship
that
you guys can work collectively to push your child forward, then there's already a problem here because this person is going to be with your kid most of the day. Y'all got to be on the same page, or you got to figure out how to get your kid on another page. Yeah.
Parents as partners. That's what I tell my kids.
Parents as partners,
working together with the teacher.
Absolutely. And that's the same for co-parenting. That's the same for teachers and parents. Like, everybody has to be working. Every person that touches a child has to be working with the parents in order to push that initiative forward. So everybody got to know what that initiative is. Everybody got to be on the same page about it, because that, honestly, in many ways, that's the way. Like, if you got the kid in the classroom and you got order and structure and stuff here, and you're trying to teach them certain social skills in this environment, but then they go home and the parents understand the curriculum, they understand what you guys are doing because you're telling them about it and all that, and then they go home and they don't reinforce that, and they let the kids wild out and be entitled and cut people off when they speaking and all these little things that, like I said, be cute and funny and shit, and then they get in the classroom and now they disruptive. That's a lot of times how a lot of people's kids end up getting deemed to have this and that and all these other things, behavioral issues, just because somebody not checking these little joints.
And then you have a professional learning committee over your kid at that point, because now they a problem child. Now you got the PE teacher looking at them. Now
everybody treating them the same way. And Shaka said, I've had conversations with teachers and the response from them was heartbreaking. I had a teacher tell me, you know how many parents I call and they feel like I'm bothering them. That was mind-boggling. Yeah, because there's parents out there that's saying, like, this is on you. You figure that out. I got a job. Don't tag me in.
Parents don't come to parent teacher.
Yeah, don't even want to be involved. Ever. But that is like voting. You can't have a say. You can't have a way in if you're not participating. That's crazy. And that was almost like a bar. But but it's 6:10. Nice, great conversation, man. Yeah. I think it's a lot more that we can dig into on this topic particularly, but we got to figure out a way, to better rear our kids and get them tightened up in a way that they end up being, you know, the great kind of adults that we want them to be. out here in the world, but also just the people in general, you know, whether, like I said, it's race relations, whether it's, you know, what they call it, you know, as it relates to defunding the police and, mm-hmm. you know, that those kind of initiatives yeah. that we have, there's a lot of entitlement in this society, in this country particularly, you know what I'm saying, that I think we do need to dismantle and tear away at some of the hems of, you know what I'm saying, so that we could all be living in a better place where we can yeah. get along and in respect of people's mental and emotional states and, you know, states of mind, yeah. you know what I'm saying, because when you, like I said, you can't, anytime you have somebody sitting in your face just carrying it with you and carrying it with you and carrying it with you over time, you're just going to feel away. It don't matter if it's kids. It don't matter if it's an adult. It don't matter if they white. It don't matter if they black. It don't matter if it's a friend, foe, whatever. You know what I'm saying? When you're getting mistreated and you feel like you're being mistreated, you're going to respond like that over time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's going to create broken relationships and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that we're making choices to help build bridges and build relationships versus tearing them down. One last comment from Shaka. Shaka said, schools need to offer more activities for the kids. Bring those programs back. I would agree. There's a lot of things that we don't have now that people used to have. You know, used to have like police camps and this and that and all the stuff that people used to do. The Shaka, sadly, funding is an issue. That's why the school board votes are so important. Get those folks out. Indeed, but that goes back to being participating, being in the know, being out at, you know, these events, making sure that when you're voting, you're thinking about that part. Everybody want to vote for the president, but nobody's really even thinking. You are voting all D's, all R's, don't even know who you're putting in place, yeah. don't even know who these people are, don't know who's leading them. You know, so all that stuff is important as it relates to the school environment, especially yep. when it comes down to the public piece. Yep. But let's get to our mindfulness cards so yeah. we can close this out.
And this...
It goes with it. Yeah. They always do. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. With our mindfulness yeah. card.
So this is insight and awareness card.
Insight and awareness.
And it says, take a bigger view. There is always a bigger view. Whatever the situations and challenges we are facing, there is always a frame of reference that can provide us with some perspective. In a mindfulness practice, the always accessible bigger view is our ability to just be aware, to know. Next time you find a difficult emotion arising in your mind, bring your awareness to that experience. The part of yourself that knows the difficult emotion is not itself difficult. If you practice taking the bigger view, the more space you'll give yourself to deal with challenges as they arise.
That's the only one you got? I know you always be pulling two.
And I have Love the Messenger.
Love the Messenger. Please love the messenger. We need love for the messenger.
And this is a kindness card.
We need love for the messenger, and this is a kindness card.
The number of messages coming into our inboxes and social feeds throughout the day and night can be overwhelming. One of the ways we can approach the constant bombardment is to think of the messages as words from actual people rather than information. Next time you open an email, take a moment to reflect on the person who wrote it, whether or not you know them personally. Think about your shared humanity and wish them well. This short exercise before reading a message can then help you tune into the interconnected internet of people rather than the internet of information.
See, that's being present and in the moment and going back to gratitude versus entitlement. That's when we come back on the next show, we're going to tie in how gratitude I believe helps to like eradicate entitlement. But good show. So let's close it out. For the people that don't know our affirmation, E, drop the affirmation on them before B sends the music back.
All right, I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here. I am whole.
We are here and we are whole. Till next Sunday.
Have a great week,
everybody. Have a great week, everybody. Oh, don't forget, Sober October.
Yeah, join us.
Join her. I probably gonna have a drink. I'm gonna try, but I'm probably having a drink this week. I mean, this week and this month. But Sober October for the people that could do it. Peace out.
Peace out.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I know E got a beat. I know E got a bar.
Not today.
I know E got a bar. E got a bar. E got a bar. E got a bar.
There is things that make me cringe.
Hey.
I am on Hinge.
Hey.
It's a dating app. I can't believe it.
Hey.
Oh my God.
Burst.
Yes. I joined Hinge yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, let's get off. We're not going to talk about that online.